Oh, globally, about a third of all land surface is devoted to livestock. You know, food production in general is about a half. In the U.S., about 47% is devoted to food production, nearly all of it to livestock.
Are these numbers and percentages growing, and if so, at what rate?
They grow, but they grow slowly. In the U.S., they actually decline a little bit. More precisely, they fluctuate based on other things. Like, for example, it was heavily impacted by both the boom and the bust of the biofuel industry, I guess. For a little while in the early 2000s, people saw it was some kind of an environmental panacea, or at least they professed to believe that. And then land was very strongly strained by growing corn for ethanol production. Then the environmental liability and futility of corn-based ethanol became clear. It took a while, but since then the pressure on land has been declining.
What impact does our demand for meat specifically have on agricultural land?
Oh, it's really everything, you know. It's really everything. All the food that you will eat, likely, directly, in other words, not through animals, it takes, you know, a percent or two of the entire surface area devoted to food production. Nearly all of that surface area is devoted to feed production. So it's not only meat. Your question was specific about meat, but meat is a very large portion of that. The only difference being eggs and dairy production, which, at least in terms of eggs, they're really trivial, so that's not an issue. Dairy is not trivial. It's fairly significant, but beef is by far the dominant land user in agriculture.
What relationship is there between agricultural land and biodiversity?
It's a complicated question, and it kind of depends who you ask. There are people who firmly believe that believe in the concept of land sparing, right? And by land sparing, they mean do whatever you can to get everything that you need out of as little land as possible, so as to leave as much land as possible completely intact for biodiversity. Then there is the opposite camp, which says land sharing. That belief is basically that farms and biodiversity are not mutually antithetical and can actually coexist. And as a consequence, they are saying, let's keep our farms, let's sacrifice a little bit of the efficiency for the sake of keeping our farmland a little less hostile to biodiversity and wildlife. That's the land sharing camp. And there have been in the past some pretty hostile and bitter arguments among those mutually warring parties, of which I have to say I'm not a member of either. So I'm kind of from the UN on this one. And it seems very clear to an impartial observer that both have some merits and that neither is entirely devoid of some substance. And yet, you know, they can be reconciled. They can be used simultaneously in some places where biodiversity is a prime consideration. You can say, well, that's a prime example of where land sparing is the way to go. And, you know, the most obvious example of that would be the Amazonian rainforest or Madagascar or one of those, where you basically say, look, I mean, the contribution of these areas to biodiversity is unparalleled, and there's nothing else on this planet that can replace that. Conversely, their contribution to food production is fairly modest and entirely interchangeable with the contribution of other parts of the world. Therefore, you know, if you have a priceless resource that can be, if ruined, if completely sacrificed, only produces something that can be, with relatively little effort, can be duplicated elsewhere, why do it? It makes no sense. So these are prime candidates for land sparing. On the other hand, you have places that maybe are not so, you know, irreplaceable in terms of biodiversity and that can produce a significant amount of food. Those are prime candidates for land sharing. In either case, let's leave it at that. Let's leave it at that, and I'll get to my next point following your next question.
Well, my follow-up on that was going to be, why would agriculture expand into such biodiverse, rich areas?
Well, unfortunately, it happens at a very rapid rate in Brazil and other parts of the Amazon basin, as well as in parts of Madagascar and other really biodiversity priceless areas. The reason for that is quite simple, and that the combination of rising standard of living, which makes for increasing demand for livestock products, and the increasing number of people, population rise, those two together put enormous stress on existing assets, and therefore other new assets are sought all the time by various you can call them, I guess, nimble agricultural prospectors. But that's really what they are. They're very much like oil prospectors. They see an opportunity presenting itself in, let's say, Brazil, and they clear-cut the piece of land that they managed to acquire and turn it into soy or corn or some combination of those. That's the most typical scenario for the sake of producing more feed for more livestock. That is an incredibly, from the standpoint of society as a whole, I mean, obviously for those individuals who prospect on this, that's a very beneficial thing. They make a nice buck. But for society as a whole, it's a very suboptimal use of resources in the sense that I guess I addressed earlier, which is those areas truly are unique in their contribution to biodiversity. They are really not unique. They're run-of-the-mill in their contribution to overall global food production. Therefore, sacrificing them is a very, very unreasonable choice on the part of society. On the part of the individuals who do it, unfortunately, it's a perfectly reasonable approach.
From an agricultural perspective, what could be done to stem the role that big agriculture, I guess, plays in the decline of biodiversity?
So big agriculture is not only bad, you know. I mean, the tenor of your question sort of made it seem as though this is our axiom, and that is the big agriculture is bad. The people that fall into the land sparing crowd will say, no, big agriculture is our savior. Why? Because it is exactly big agriculture that make for those uniquely bountiful fields let's say, cornfields that produce upward of 200 bushels an acre. Well, that's not going to happen in sub-Saharan Africa with traditional agriculture. No, it's going to happen in land managed according to, you know, Archer Daniels' stipulations. And so the land sparing crowd will say it is exactly the big ag that we need in order to raise dramatically the yield that every single acre produces, thereby freeing other acres to be left alone and allocated to maintaining biodiversity. So big ag plays a complex role here. Repeat the last question, because I only answered the first part of your question, and I did not answer the second.
My question was, from an agricultural perspective, what could and should be done to stem the role? I used the words big agriculture, but that might have been wrong. Just agriculture in general plays in the decline of species and loss of biodiversity.
Yeah, so that was a very important question. That's why I wanted to come back to that. Okay, so the simple answer, the one that is the most impactful without any parallel, is to eat whenever possible plant-based diets. That is the single most important thing one can do on a global scale. However, I do want to emphasize that in places like your listening area, like where I am, okay, the Hudson Valley, here it may very well be true, because here we're not really falling firmly into either one of the obvious land sparing nor the obvious land sharing regime. We're kind of in the middle. Our biggest challenge is actually suburban sprawl. And, you know, when you ask, for example, why is Lyme disease so much more ubiquitous now? Well, there are many reasons for that, but a key one is forest fragmentation. And that can be actually ameliorated with nimble land use that does include food production. So, for example, if you have a very sparse beef herd that grazes on land that otherwise will be grazed by deer, and admittedly, deer is not the only element of the Lyme story, but it is an element of it. And if you can basically displace grazing deer by grazing cattle and allow for some kind of pseudo natural ecosystem functioning that at least does some benefit for the for stemming Lyme disease increases, that's an example where you would say, well, you know what, this area is not exactly the Amazonian rainforest, nor is it Iowa. It's in between, you know. And in that case, it may be, I'm not saying that it is, but it may be in some cases beneficial to allow a kind of a complex and diverse land use mosaic that includes also even grazing beef, which in general is the single most important detriment to biodiversity. But on a global scale, the simple answer to your question is definitely avoid beef at all costs whenever possible, and with much reduced urgency, avoid all other animal products and avail yourself of plant-based diets, because those use a minuscule fraction of the land that animal-based diets do.